Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, we speak to Pete, and he shares his experience of adopting with his wife. They adopted one child after a long and unsuccessful fertility treatment and have gone on to adopt again recently. Their story reflects a positive experience and with them navigating the assessment and matching process with relative ease. It's their story and reflects their views. We hope you find it enlightening, and as always, if you've experienced of adoption, fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through the Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at aandfpodcast@gmail.com.
My name's Peter, I'm 41 now. Got over that hurdle of the big 4-0. My wife as well, she's 41. There's only 12 days between us, which is fun. Joint birthdays and all that lot. Working from home now, so I've got the two kids. So when we first started our little business, I had the kids running around my feet, you know, at the beginning of COVID as well, which was interesting. Any work from home parents can all relate to that, can't they? And I suppose my family story started, back in around about 2009, 2010, when we started. So we got married the year before. Let's have a baby, as you do, you know, this is the progression, isn't it, as you do in life. And then, you know, you start trying and all of a sudden things aren't as, they're never as simple as they seem, are they? I think we were a good year in of trying, and then it became apparent that, well, we might need a bit of help here. So that's when we embarked on, you know, the doctors and all this stuff, all these get involved, which I must admit, isn't very nice, is it? You know, it's very intrusive, you know, especially for your wives, because they're the ones that have, you know, got to be prodding and poked around a little bit more than we do. Still, it wasn't very nice having to watch, and the heartache, you know, that this brings. All you want to do is start a family and you can't, and nobody can really tell you why. So, you know, multiple goes, a couple of goes of IVF we had, which again was, you know, it was really bad. Just the whole feeling of it, it's not very nice. It's not a nice environment. Once again, yeah, you know, my wife isn't really enjoying it. And there's no explanation as to why we're doing it. We just can't conceive. There was a few issues on the way. I mean, my wife had to have a few little operations about things. I'd initially had a low sperm count, which at first, I must admit, being a bloke, it does kick you in the between the legs at first, doesn't it? Because that's what we're like as men, aren't we? You know, you think, Jesus Christ, what? Anyway, it's such an old thing that the next time I went for a sample, we'll call it that, it's absolutely fine. You know, my sperm count's high up. And then you're thinking, well, what's the problem? What's going on? So we went back and forth for years. And then we had one final trip to the, where was it now? The IVF hospital, I can't remember, in Manchester, St Mary's Hospital it is. And she wasn't pregnant, it didn't work. So we literally walked out of the hospital down the steps and we just looked at each other and thought, you know what, should we forget this and adopt? Yeah, and it was there and then, that moment, the decision was made, let's take control of our lives. Because you're not in control, are you, through IVF and through that? You're in the hands of the doctors. They're telling you what to do. And from that moment on, we just had a smile back on our faces and gone on with life. And that was it, you know. That was sort of the end of a really horrible, what should we say, six or seven years, all of a sudden, you know, click your fingers and our whole mindset changed and we are thinking, great, right, let's get on this mission, you know, and excited. So we're excited, you know, we're smiling, we're doing it. We walk into the car thinking this is going to be great. And then that's it. The adoption starts as many people know how it goes. Came home, we did a bit of investigating on adoption agencies, who to go with. I think I called two adoption agencies up, but the first one I called, I spoke to a lady on the phone, and she was great. She was lovely. I only made the second call just because I thought that I had to. My gut feeling was, and my wife spoke to her as well. She was lovely. She was. This is somebody that we want to progress with. And we went from there. It was as simple as that again. And we were still a bit in disbelief. Wow, we've been asked to come forward and go meet them already. All I've done is make a phone call, and it hasn't moved this fast for God knows how long. It's happening, you know. So, I mean, at times and dates now are all a bit jumbled up, but it took us from that phone call to meeting our son during the week's introductions was around about 10 months, which, you know, you have a baby in 9 or 10 months, don't you? So it just, we could not believe it, how fast all that happened. The process, although it is quite intrusive, isn't it, of the social workers in your house, you go in there, that there's a lot of paperwork to fill, there's a lot of writing down to do and digging into your family history. We both quite enjoyed it. It's something that you've never really done before. You've never really delved too deep into the family and the family roots. I certainly haven't. Anyway, my wife knew a bit more about her side. You know, I'd learned quite a bit. And we also learned quite a bit about ourselves, the kind of people we are. When it's written down on paper, I always thought I was a bit mad at, you know, a bit off the cuff, a go with it. But as we were getting further and further into the process, and we're writing all, you know, filling out all these pieces of all these documents, and I'm reading it back, I am quite a cautious person, and I never really saw that side of myself. So it was almost a bit of a therapy for ourselves as well, which is quite nice, you know. I'm just trying to think now on I'm trying not to skip too far ahead, because so much goes on in that time, doesn't it? I think if any advice I would give to anybody about it is never underestimate that introduction, that week, 10 days, or I think it can go on for 2 weeks. It absolutely blew our minds and took the wind out of our sails. It was hard work. It was quite a long drive to get to where he was fostering. So we're doing that in the morning, twice a day. And as the weeks go on, it gets longer and longer, doesn't it? You're there first thing in the morning as they wake up, and you're there putting them to bed towards the end of the week. And we were just worn out, walking in through the door, fall on the bed. Oh my God, absolutely whacked. With emotionally drained as well. You know, I think that's probably what it really was. That, you know, your mind is going 10 to the dozen. A new parent, what do we do here? Is it this foster parent's not going to be around forever, is she? She's not going to help me. I'm chucked to the deep end here. what we liked about it, I mean, the best thing, the foster carers, they are amazing people, aren't they? They open up the house to you. We you basically live in there for a week, 10 days, however long it is, the introductions. And there was never any, go make yourself a brew. You know, you don't need to ask and get comfy, do what you want to do, you know, in and out, which is good. And then, in fact, when we first met, our son, the first one that we adopted, walked in the door and he was on the floor. He was just crawling. And I said to the foster parents, can I pick him up? Of course you can, it's your son. Yeah. And I just hadn't quite grasped it, I suppose, at that point. A lot of that now, I think, what a silly thing to say. You know. And as the days went by, he came to us for a day, which I think we spent the day in the living room wondering what we're doing with this child, trying to integrate him into our little life. And then the day comes when you're bringing them home. You're bringing him home with you, which was, it's the best day of a life, but also it's really, really difficult because you're taking a little baby, and he was 10 months old he was, out of somebody else's house. And, they're upset about it because they're going to miss him. And you're excited because you're obviously welcoming a baby to the family. But yet you think, oh, no, they're all upset. And that's it, the home. And then you've just got to... You crack on with it then, don't you? You're a parent. You soon forget about the adoption. I think we had a few visits with social workers, just checking that everything's okay and we're doing what we should be doing, that they're settling in okay. And then you forget. You instantly forget, and the rest of the family follow suit, don't they? Everybody completely forgets that an adoption ever happened. It's just, it's a son, now grandson and nephew, nieces. So that was the first one. And we still look back now. I was just talking last night with my wife about the time frames of things and how fast it seemed to go and how enjoyable the adoption process is. I think we've all heard horror stories, and you are certainly told, aren't you, during the process that this can be difficult, it can be hard, but just keep an open mind, which we always did. The only stipulation, not even a stipulation really, the only thing that we requested was a baby, which everybody really wants, don't they? But we didn't, we were open to anything. We would have our minds open to anything and read, and look at any case. We just got lucky with a 10-month-old baby boy, I suppose. One of the things when you go for, you have to go to panel to be approved to be adopted. We were told, just before we went in to the panel, that when you come out, there might be a bit of a surprise for you. So we're already thinking, oh no, is this it? So we had to do our little interview in front of the 6 or 7 people, asking us questions, why do we think we'd be good parents? And then you step out and they deliberate over whether they think that you are going to be a good adoptive parent, and you get your approval. We both walk in, we both burst into tears as soon as he said yes, So as soon as we came out of this meeting, the social worker came up to us with a piece of paper and some information on about our future son. It was just, oh my God, I've just been approved now. And we were told there's going to be time to wait, until we find that match you with the right one. None of that. It was straight out. Here he is. This is it. Oh my God. Right. I can't. I've got to just take a step back and think about this. It did take us back. Right. It did shock us, I must admit. But it was a nice shock. Yeah, it was good, and that was the first one, I suppose. Yeah,
I mean, people often talk about, like you said, that there's an anticipation that things can be difficult. Things can, you know, that the bedding in period. People talk about a honeymoon, but some people don't experience that. But obviously, your son's very young. So, did you see any issues that you thought were sort of part of that transition from a place that he'd lived in to a new home?
No, there wasn't. It didn't seem to ever miss, going from the foster home to us. He never really seemed to cry too much, as babies do. He seemed to take it all in his stride. There was one instance, and it was the first time he came here on the week of introductions, where he crawled to the front door, and that choked us a bit, I must admit. It puts a little lump in my throat now, he'd be, oh no. But apart from that tiny little thing, he's a really strong little lad. He's taken it all in his stride. And, you know, there's been, from what we can tell at the moment, no repercussions so far of these moves, you know, because they do. I mean, we're taught, aren't we, from when we start the process, that although they're so young, these make massive impacts in their lives. You know, we just cannot see it yet. It may not have manifested. But no, it was very good. It was very chilled. Only now that he's 5 or 6, he's a proper five-year-old lad now, isn't he? You know, causing trouble.
So you said that you then decided to adopt again.
Yeah, what an idea that was.
Yeah, was it as it sounds like your first experience was sort of as it, you know, textbook from a lot of perspectives. So was the second as smooth?
Yeah, unbelievably, yes, even smoother. It took 6 months this time for our little girl to come along, and the story. It was even simpler. It lovely social workers, a lovely family, where she was stopping. She was closer to us. The foster home was a lot closer to us. So the week of introductions was just easier. The family, we're still in touch with that family now, actually. Only loosely, well, obviously because of COVID. But we do still keep in touch. She was 8 months old when she joined the family. And when they said to us, it's a little girl, we just thought, you know, it, wow, one of each. It's what we never again said what we would have wanted. You are asked, what would you prefer, a boy or a girl? You know, whichever, it doesn't matter to us. Mm. And they said, we've got this lovely little girl who, you know, is currently at such and such a place, not too far from you. So fantastic, yeah. I cannot believe how easy it was. And I think it was easier because we knew what was coming. The second time round, you miss out quite a bit of the process of the adoption because you've already done it. So there was the stage one that we didn't have to go through. But yeah, once again, simple, great. Great fun. We enjoyed ourselves. My wife and I, we chucked ourselves into it. You know, get involved with it, get on with it. Because it's a great time, isn't it? You know. Mm.
So did you, with both of either of your children, did you get the opportunity to meet any of their biological families?
My eldest one, no, there was, I don't want to say too much. It wouldn't have been good if we were put in the same room. I don't think it would have gone down too well. So the social workers advised not to. We have said that we've put ourselves forward. If there is a time in the future when we believe it could be a safe environment, then yes, we would, you know, love to meet one of them or both. With our daughter, we don't know where they are, I suppose, in one way of saying it. But we met the biological grandma and auntie, which was brilliant. And they were amazing people. They were over the moon that, you know, this little girl had been picked up, adopted, you know, by us. And she was going to be put in a home, you know, a loving family, which wouldn't have happened, you know, to put it bluntly, without adoptive parents like ourselves. So, and they gave us loads of pictures of birth. This is just the birth father's side, and we don't know anything about the mother's side. But she gave us loads of photos of him, told us, you know, little stories about him, tried to paint a picture. And we sat in the offices at the agency for quite a while, just nattering away to each other and learning a bit about each other, which was emotional, to say the least. And yet an experience that, you know, I'll never forget. And it really was brilliant. And I'm looking forward to being able to speak to our daughter about it. You know, this is what it was like. You know, she was a lovely lady, and your biological auntie was there. She was lovely. These are the stories that we've got. We've got some photos here to show you. One of the problems that we've already talked about now is that because the two very different people, and they've got two very different pasts, even before they're 1 year old, that their pasts are so different, we haven't got much to... You know, I haven't got stories to tell about my son's biological parents. Nothing great, you know. So there's a balance that we've got to sort of think about. Mm. You know, she's going to be thinking, you know, it's got all this going on in her head. Wow, she can ask me all these questions about him, and I can answer. And with our son, it's completely opposite. We do have answers, but they're not, you know, it's not as nice, if you know. Yeah, try not to give too much away. So there's going to be things for us to think about, and how we're going to work this with the children when that time comes. You know, is when the time is, I don't know. I think they present themselves to you, don't they?
Yeah,
those type of situations. We have had chats with him already, because, you know, our daughter turned up. It's a baby just turned up on the doorstep, do they? You know, that sort of, because that's it for a 4-year-old at the time. Oh, right, great. So who are your, he said to us not long ago, so who are your foster parents? Who's your foster mummy and daddy? Well, we don't have one. That's confusing, you know. So you just drip feed little bits. That's what we're trying to do, rather than a bombshell when he's 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And same hopefully with our daughter.
So do you have plans to adopt again?
There's been two instances recently. One, we had a phone call from my son's, my son's social workers saying that birth mother has had another one. Would you be interested? And I think it was a half an hour conversation, if that. But it did make us think, you know, isn't it nice having a little baby about the place? But realistically, the house that we live in, to have five of us in here, it would be a squeeze, and it would be taking away things from our two, you know, the time away from them that we really need to give to them. And then oddly, the other day, my wife was clearing out the baby grows of our daughter, just getting rid of them, taking them to the charity shop. I said, that's in, if they're going, we're not having another one. No, it's easy enough. Thank you, Peter.
I mean, that's a really interesting position to be put in, because that's unique to how families, adoptive families are brought together, is that someone sort of comes to you and proposes or asks you if you're interested. That's not normal, is it? So was that hard to make sense of and negotiate? Was it a complicated sort of discussion?
It wasn't a particularly difficult decision for us to make. After a bit of a chat about it, I think we were excited at first. Oh, wow, a natural brother. But when you're realistic, we just sort of sat back and thought about it realistically with the situation we're with, finances and the house, then it would be a strain on us and it wouldn't be fair on the other two. Sorry, on our other daughter. But it does also weigh on our minds that one day we've got to explain to him that you do have another, there's a biological brother, and we said no, which is the bottom line, isn't it? It's not a very nice thing for him to hear. Well, great. His attitude could be, and rightly so, oh, thanks for that. What? Why not? What? I wanted my brother here, and I wouldn't blame him for thinking that. So that's something that we will have to manage as it comes. It may never come to that. He may never be interested. Both of them may never be interested in what went on in the past. They're not my parents. They're not my family. I don't know who they are. And great, which we've all heard stories of that as well, haven't we? Going through the process that, some adoptive children, when they're getting older, they're not bothered about the past. Either way is fine with us. It's up to them. You come and ask me. We've got everything here. Whatever you want.
So it's exciting days. So obviously you got in touch with me. You want, asked to be come on the podcast. So what was there anything specific you wanted to talk about? Because obviously you're quite new in your journey. Is there, what are your reflections on adoption generally?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say was I've heard, over the years, and something sparked recently, which is why I contacted you, that I think it was a lady on the telly saying that she can't have children, which is really sad, and I feel for her. And that was it. And that was the end of it. She'll never have children. Now, I sort of want to bang the drum a bit and put my hand up and say, whoa, don't just call it a day just because you can't, conceive naturally. Think of adoption. It may not be for everybody, I can understand that, but you don't have to go through life with that. And I've seen it before. They have this thing on the shoulder and they're carrying around with them, aren't they, forever? Can't have children, or I can't do this. But there is an option out there, and I guarantee that it will make you just as happy as having a biological baby. Or maybe you can't say that because I don't have one. Both of my kids are adopted, but at the end of the day, it's a child that needs a home and they need looking after. Raising awareness is what I'd like to do, and for men as well. As I discussed at the beginning, we don't really talk about these things too much, do we? I've got a low sperm count. Best not tell the lads in the pub that. You know what? No, it's not really like that anymore, is it? Let's talk about it. So that's it. That's what I sort of wanted to do. Is just let's there's a, there is a, an option out there. You don't have to go through life and think I'm never going to have children. You can, and it's rewarding, and it's a great process to go through.
Oh, I mean, that's a fantastic way it went. So, Pete, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you. Speak to you again.